What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Two Generation Podcast, a podcast where we share two different perspectives from two different generations.
And how to have those hard conversations with anybody about anything. I'm Wendy, I'm the mom.
And I'm Jack, I'm the son. Welcome to the show.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show. Today, we're going to be talking about relationships, all sorts of relationships, dating, family relationships, siblings, parents, etc. So stay tuned and here we go.
All right. All right, you want to kick it off with dating?
Yes.
All right, what was it like dating in your generation?
Well, all right, full transparency. I didn't have a ton of dates when I was younger. Okay. I had more dates when I was a little older.
Okay.
But that being said, you still had to meet somebody first. There was no online dating. There was no internet. There was nothing like that. There were no platforms to actually meet somebody before meeting them. You either met somebody at school or at work. And if you guys got along, somebody would ask somebody out.
Okay. Did you make the first approach or did you wait for the guys to? Because I know you watch movies and it's all up to like the guys to make the first move. Did you wait for them or did you?
Well, I was raised to have, you're supposed to wait for them. You're supposed to, you know, flirt and follow the social norm steps. But I was a little bit less conventional. Initially, I think that I waited, but as I got older, if I wanted to date somebody and they didn't ask me out, I would ask them out.
Okay, so wait, I want to ask real quick. So when you were younger, how did that go? Were you a little more flirty and then you started to realize as you got older, hey, I need to make the first move and just kind of pursue this because this is what I want for myself? Or,
yeah, I mean, like, let's take high school, for example. Yeah. I wasn't, you know, running around asking all the high school boys out on a date. And at that stage in my life, I was more conventional and I would wait for somebody to ask me out or wait for somebody to ask me to a dance. And thankfully, I did get asked out and I did go to dances. But as I got older and things changed, you know, with myself and society and women's liberation, et cetera, there really wasn't a reason for me to have to wait. And I had good experiences with asking men out and I wouldn't say not so good experiences, but, you know, it's the same thing. Why should the guy have to always deal with either, you know, the yes or the no?
Sure. Because I want to bring up a little bit later after I get through this next point that I wonder what the reaction was for a girl actually asking a guy out. Because nowadays it's a little – actually, I want to say a lot less common for a girl to actually ask a guy out.
Really? Girls don't ask guys out now?
It's very rare, and I would say slim to none when it comes to girls asking guys out. Unless the guy's a 10, just a hunk. I don't think you'll ever see really a girl asking a guy out. I think
in your age bracket right now?
Oh, 100%. Well, yeah. I mean, even in, you know, my age bracket and then I'd say maybe even like an age bracket above me, that girls sort of assume that the guy is just going to come up. So they leave little breadcrumbs and little hints to
luring.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
Maybe it's a me thing then.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, though. Guys like the forward woman that's going to go ahead and ask. And that's always – it's sort of like a weird running joke, especially on social media, where it's like, yeah, yeah, girls aren't going to be the ones to, you know, go up and approach the guy and ask them out on a date. Or even, like, women hold that standard of, like, I'm never going to ask him to marry me. It's sort of his job. It's sort of his duty to come up and ask me, you know, let's go out on a date, which is
– old school thinking.
It's very old school, and I would honestly appreciate – because I'm not scared to go up and approach women. And I don't think the guys who are saying this are scared to approach women either. But I also think that it would be cool for women to approach guys in that aspect and sort of limit the amount of hints and clues that need to be dropped for them to actually start a relationship.
I think you just need to meet different girls.
I think so too. But also, I don't find many girls that I come across that actually have the goal to pull something like that off or even know what to say. And I think that they're still also trapped in those ways where they need to – they feel like they're the ones that should be, you know, asked and this, yeah, and that. But
yeah. I also think it can – you know, it starts with a friendship. You know, if like you're in, let's just say, a work environment, you know, and you're working with somebody that you, you know, you get to know and you like, and it's, there's, you know, it sparks an interest.
All right. Well, that's
more common.
Yeah.
You know, to say, hey, let's grab a drink, or hey, do you want to get a coffee or something like that, rather than just walking up and saying, hey, I don't know you, here's my number, call me, let's go to dinner.
So in that case, do you think it would be the guy's responsibility if they weren't on a name-to-name basis for them to go and approach the girl? You think it's kind of still out there? Because I feel like what you're saying right now is the work relationship or school relationship where you actually talk to each other every day, you know each other on a first-name basis, you spend a lot of time with each other, that I feel like that's anybody's game right there to be able to ask that person out.
Right.
But if you're coming up to somebody on the street, do you think it would be more so the guy's
responsibility?
Exactly.
I personally think it should go both ways. But that's me. I'm always been a very forward thinker, and you know, you can call it women's lib or whatever you want to, but why shouldn't the women have the responsibility as well?
Yeah. I mean, I wish I saw more of this, to be honest. I wish I saw more of this.
Well, maybe with this podcast.
I've never been approached.
People will.
Full disclosure, folks. I've never been approached.
I'm surprised.
Me too. I'm probably one of the top 10 most beautiful human beings on planet Earth, and I've never been approached. And when we start the video podcast, you guys are not going to be disappointed, all right? What I'm saying is I wish I was approached more, and I also think that with everything going on in 2024 in this day and age, that I would love to see women approach men and not sort of hold this standard that men need to approach women and that's how things have to be, especially with changing up all like different social norms. That's a whole different podcast, and we can talk for days about that. But I was just curious to know, without the use of social media and having so many different ways to contact people and see what they're doing all the time, was dating sort of easier when it comes to trusting the person that you're with and knowing sort of what they're up to and keeping your insecurities sort of in line when it comes to being in a relationship?
Not at all. Dating's dating. I mean, you are taking a chance, and the whole point of dating is to get to know somebody. So you take a chance by going out with that person, and you hopefully get to know them to a certain degree on the date, and then you decide whether you feel you want to go out with them again, they're trustworthy, they're not creepy, etc.
Sure.
Going both ways.
Yeah.
But no, and you know, then your insecurity set in and all of that. So I think that it's exactly the same. Dating's dating. Whether
yeah.
you're meeting somebody online or you're meeting somebody in person, and that's how it starts.
I would say the same. I want to say, I guess with my generation, there's so much more opportunity to date when it comes to the amount of outlets you have to post about yourself and find different girls and you've a lot of variety instead of just meeting people sort of on the street. And you're laughing right now. Did I just mess up the whole thing?
No.
You think variety? Variety. It's variety. Well, okay. Also, I think it's different coming from a handsome guy where I can say the word variety when it comes to dating, because I'm sure I'm digging myself a grave right
here.
When you go on a dating site.
Variety is the right word, because you have this plethora of women that you get to choose from. I mean, technology today allows my generation now to do that as well. But as far as it seems so much more prevalent, just taking you for example, you almost not automatically, but the go-to is sign up for a dating app.
Yeah. Well, because also a lot of, and I want to say on the flipping the tables for what we were talking about earlier with the guys approaching girls, it's also scarier to approach a girl nowadays. And what I mean by that is, you know, guys are sort of viewed as like creepy, or a girl has a bad experience with a guy, and it creates this whole sort of perspective on who guys are and whether or not they approach you nice or this and that. It's always taken sort of in a bad way, unless
I think it depends on your
it also depends situation, on the
and I think it also depends on your location. I mean, if you're in an environment where, let's say, you're at a club or you're at a bar party, I think that women are going to be more apt and feel a little more comfortable. I mean, definitely walking up to someone on the street, yeah, they might be leery. I mean, I think anybody would be leery.
Yeah, I think that too. I also think that it's with the dating apps, it's made dating a little bit easier when it comes to sort of siphoning down the amount of dates that you would go on and the amount of personalities that you interact with to actually find the correct person. Like, you get a lot of opportunities to meet a lot of different people and find a lot of different people that you necessarily wouldn't date, but because they're on the apps with you and there's so many different people with so many different personalities besides your own, you get to sort of figure out who would be the best fit and what kind of personality you actually want to be with at the end of the day.
Without dating all of them.
Exactly. And yeah. And
that's the positive.
Yeah, exactly. And it's always so wild to me that, like, you just sort of see the previous generation not have this sort of capability. And I'm not talking about millennials, because they definitely dip their toes in this as well, but I'm talking about your generation, where it was more so meeting this person face to face, taking in what they say, oh, that's you, that's this and that, and you don't have any sort of idea of what they do in their free time. You don't have the access to social media, see what they do on the weekends. You don't know what their interests are until you actually meet them. Yeah, and sort of streamlining,
yes,
to who you actually,
but I also think that takes some of the intrigue and the the fun and the process of getting to know somebody, 100%. Out of that. And I know a lot of people and several of my friends have met wonderful people online. Some people are, avid online daters or serial online daters. Other people have met the one and they've gotten married and they are very happy and have kids, et cetera. So, but I think there's the pros and the cons.
Totally.
Let me ask you this, on the dating apps. I mean, what's your take on when a girl presents herself, in like a super sexy photo or half naked or something like that?
For me, unless she's sending it to me directly and we're in a relationship, that's fine. I think that posting your body on the internet and having that be the way that I fell in love with you seems a little superficial.
Yeah.
Because I know nothing about you. You could be a super intelligent girl or be extremely...
Owie.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. And I wouldn't know, but because I'm using the lust factor as a way to meet you, in my experience, I haven't seen that it's led to any sort of real relationship. Unless you meet somebody and you're actually talking with them. And I think that's a really cool thing about your generation, is that you're actually – you don't see that necessarily at all. You're actually meeting these people, seeing what their interests are, seeing what their beliefs are, seeing what they do in their free time, seeing the type of person that they are, instead of just sort of seeing this superficial cutout of what they are on social media.
Right.
And it's a little more difficult to get some sort of idea of their character and whether or not you even want to meet them because of what you've seen before actually talking to them in person.
Right.
But I think that a girl posting sexy photos for loads of people definitely doesn't pique my interest at all. And I think that it's for the masses. And I want to be the only belle at the ball when it comes to that sort of thing. So, it's not my favorite. But I mean, let me flip it. What do you think about girls posting sexy photos on social media trying to attract men, or even just doing it because it's body positivity and they just want to show themselves off? Because that's also, I think, a big thing that's misinterpreted, is that girls really just want to say, I've been in the gym, I've been working out, I've been looking good, I want to post myself. But then people will take it as, you're being hoey and you're showing your body off.
I guess it depends on what capacity they're doing it. If they're doing it on a dating site and they're just trying to attract a guy for sex, and there is no real meaning. I mean, I can't really judge. I don't really know enough about what goes through a woman's head to post a photo of her half naked body on a dating site. I mean, I would think it would be more for sex. If you're on a dating site to actually meet somebody of substance or someone that you want to actually have a relationship with, then maybe they wouldn't do that. Or like you said, maybe they're very proud of their body. If people are proud of their body, more power to them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So there's no judgment. You're not in that person's head, so you really don't know. And then again, that's, you take that chance to either date her and see, you know, why she did it. And then you get to know her and maybe she's fantastic. You know, I mean, back in the day, we didn't have our own phones. You know, we didn't have, I mean, there was email, but it wasn't prevalent. You didn't really, like, you know, unless you were across the country, you didn't email each other. So if you liked somebody and you went on a date, then, you know, to get to know them before you go on another date, you would talk on the phone.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you would talk on the phone for hours, you know, and then just that's how you get to know their interests and what they like. And then, you know, things progress. You want to see their body.
Sure. Sure. So. I know. I've heard that too. And we're going to jump to this next sort of portion of dating in just a second. We might even cut this out, but I've heard that they'll email sexy photos and then guys are going and printing them out.
Really? Because
there's no – yeah, I've heard this a lot from numerous celebrities, from just guys dating in your generation, that they'll send photos or maybe even a little bit later, because I'm young and dumb and I don't know when printers are invented, if you even had printers.
Well, there were printers when there were computers, but I mean, like, not home printers.
Yeah, but going
office.
And, like, printing sexy photos. And, yeah. Printing or going to, like, you know.
Kinko's?
Kinko's, exactly. And printing out sexy photos. But anyways – let's jump to being in a relationship and some of the things that you encounter and how you sort of deal with those as you progress in your relationship. I know what we have right now is sort of codependency, which we talk about a lot, and then also trust. Mm-hmm. And go for it.
And being in a healthy versus an unhealthy relationship.
Yeah, identifying the clues.
And then just
communication as well. Very nice.
conflicts and resolution.
Yeah. So which one do you want to dive into first? What do you think we could?
Well, I think it all starts with communication. I mean, that's the basis of any relationship.
Sure.
You know, any kind of relationship. So that can be a tough one for people. People communicate in different styles, in different ways. Some people are, you know, less apt to talk about their feelings, where other people only want to talk about their feelings.
Yeah.
And, you know, finding that balance between two people who are in a relationship can be challenging.
Yeah. I think it's wild that, you know, communication isn't, and this might sound dumb, but it's not a generational thing. It's not like people get better at it. Everybody's different when it comes to communicating, especially in relationships, and obviously sort of in a way sometimes walking on glass when it comes to trying to communicate, you know, your needs and wants, especially in a relationship with someone that you really like or love.
Yeah.
I want to say, you know, when it comes to dealing with, like, I think this is a great way to jump from communication to conflicts and how to share your point of view and not necessarily hurt the other one's feelings or put the relationship in jeopardy.
Definitely.
How would you sort of navigate that?
Well, it's all in how you present the conflict. You know, it doesn't have to be presented as a conflict, a difference of opinion.
Right.
And so you have to know how to communicate the point you're getting across where the other person hears you. And it doesn't necessarily have to be in a mean, biting way. You know, so if you're disagreeing about, you know, doing the dishes, for example, you know, you never do the dishes. Why don't you ever do the dishes? I cook and you never do the dishes. That's going to be taken as an attack to the person who supposedly never does the dishes. And then that person's going to come back and say, what do you mean? I did them last night. So I think it's approaching conflicts, big or small, with a calm demeanor, not maybe necessarily lashing out, maybe taking a minute and then coming back to it. But with that being said, come back to it, because otherwise sometimes you end up stuffing it and compounding those little things, and then you have a gigantic outburst, and then the other person is absolutely confused and baffled why you're so upset.
They don't know how to react. Yeah. That's I've seen that a lot, and it becomes tough, especially when you've reached that point where if you do snap and the other person realizes it and they want to snap back at you, it's kind of that communication is gone. That coming at it from a sweet point of view, because you can't jump from, hey, what are you doing, to, all right, let's have a conversation. I guess you can, but depending on the way that you snap, I think that really dictates the way that the argument is going to unfold. But I think what you were saying about recognizing what's going on, taking a break, you know, getting your words in order, and then approaching it from
a calmer point of view.
A way calmer point of view, instead of just being like walking in, why aren't the dishes done? It's like, okay, well, hey, you know, I'd really appreciate if you actually did the dishes. You know, I've only asked you a few times. You know, it's not the end of the world, but hey, would you mind doing this for me? Because you know what? I care about this relationship, and I try to uphold my end of the deal. And I know, you know, my relationships, you know, they're 50-50.
Yeah.
And I would appreciate, you know, well, and that's also like, that's like comes to like living together. But I feel like relationships, like if you're just dating and not living together, just.
I was just using that as an example, but it, you know, we're all human, and you know, people will get irked and they'll snap, and you know, it's also in how the person is who is getting snapped at perceives it. If they are also hot-headed and they snap back, that's going to go nowhere.
Yeah.
But if you can take a second, knowing the person that you're dating, if you do, and kind of understand where they're coming from, and understand, you know, that they're probably snapping because something else is going on in their day. And if you can have, you know, that come to it with that empathetic reaction instead of snapping back, you'll be able to calmly, I think, work anything out.
Yeah.
How about trust?
Oh, shit. Yeah.
So that's a big one.
That is a big one. And I think.
How do you navigate that? Like, what, at what point do you, in a relationship or ever, do you feel like you can really start trusting somebody?
I think when they're really transparent, and I think being transparent on your own will help your significant other, especially in a relationship, from what I've learned, is that there's no reason to, you know, say, especially like with phones, like, hey, you know, this is a big thing with my generation, that, you know, let me, you know, look at your phone. Let me look at this. Let me look at that. And yeah, in any other context, you'd be like, well, that's why I have a passcode on it. You don't need to look in my phone. But in a relationship, if somebody does that, it's like, well, what are you hiding from me that I can't look in your phone? And I think that's a big portion of it. It just stemming from, you know, my age and my sort of dating circle, is that hiding your phone is an immediate red flag when it comes to relationships. And I think that people constantly wanting to, and I'm going to get into why it's also unhealthy to constantly want to check, is obviously you don't trust them. And whether or not the person's being very transparent, like, I've been in a relationship where I've been very transparent and I'm willing to share anything. And I'm like, yeah, I have nothing to hide. Like, you can look through my stuff. It's just literally me and my family, my dog mainly.
But and isn't that, don't you feel that?
It's exhausting. It's absolutely exhausting trying to prove to this person that, hey, I have nothing to hide. I don't know what sort of stuff you went through in your previous relationships or what you've seen. That's hurt you or given you the reason to constantly want to snoop through my stuff. And I think that it's really toxic and a big red flag on their end, constantly wanting to see what you're up to, especially.
Yeah, how can you trust them then?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And that leads into like healthy versus unhealthy, right? I mean, how do you know that you're in an unhealthy relationship?
I think that's a big portion of it, what I just explained about somebody constantly trying to peer into your life and see what's going on. I think people not understanding that everyone lives their own lives, and because they're not texting you all the time, and this is just from my generation, that just because they're not texting you all the time, or not giving you a call, or not sending you photos, or not showing you exactly where they're at, that doesn't immediately mean, oh, they're cheating on you. Oh, it's code red. I need to hit the big red button. Everything's going into shutdown mode. Right. It's like, no, this person is most likely taking a nap, doing the dishes, hanging out with their family. I've had that a lot where it's like, you know, oh, well, what have you been doing? And it's like, well, my sister just came home from college. I'm just hanging out with her. I haven't seen her in a while. Just hanging out with my mom. She's making dinner. I'm making food. I'm, you know, X, Y, and Z. And that, I think, is a really solid way to see that somebody has been in a relationship where they've had stuff hidden from them and discovered things. Mm-hmm. And kind of shows their character. And I've seen that from girls who cheat and guys who cheat, that when they do, they're more scared to see what their partner has going on, to sort of give their partner a false sense of security and let them know, hey, you know, I'm not doing anything, but, you know, I just want to see what you have going on, so that they just kind of throws them off their trail.
Right.
And I think those are just sort of some key things to recognize if you're in a toxic relationship. Also, when it comes to like following people on social media, you need to follow all these people. Why are you looking at this? Why are you liking this? It's like, yeah, all right, you know, obviously, yes, I don't need to be liking, you know, booty pics on Instagram. At the same time, if I've had a pre-existing relationship with a girl that's a friend and we've been friends for years before I met you, and there's no – it's just a platonic relationship, I don't think that that needs to be a big deal. But I do want to ask you, it must have been so relaxing being able to date and not have to worry about the 4 or 5 different things that I just fucking talked about in a relationship that, you know, pertain to – I'll cut it out. pertain to a relationship in my generation.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? When I talked about in the last podcast, I don't have the reference. You know, I only have it now, knowing and watching, you know, other people go through it now. Yeah. But then,
what were you scared of? All the worries.
Yeah. You know, there was all the dating worries, and you know, all the insecurities, and you know, do they like me? Will they call?
Sure.
You know, they could say, "Oh, I had a great time. I'll call you," and never call. And then it's the dilemma: do you call them? And then, you know, so, and you start to think, okay, well, you know, it's me and what they don't like about me. And so it's all those securities. Or on the flip side, they really like you and you don't like them, and they call and you have to either go out with them again because you're being nice, or you're giving them a second chance, or maybe you're like, okay, well, let's try again. Or you have to let them down and say no. I mean, that's hard too.
Yeah,
that's,
but did you have some of the worries? Probably not, though. I mean, I guess the only worry is,
definitely
being dishonest. And
yeah,
and
there's definitely, I mean, trust is trust.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, somebody has to trust you, whether you know, are on social media or not. You can be deceitful at work, anywhere,
yeah,
you know, or untrustworthy, or you can do things behind that person's back that will hurt their feelings. So, I mean, it's not necessarily all based around social media. I mean, trust is trust.
But do you go in with a little bit more trust, knowing that you can't, that's not one of the first things you can check? Kind of like you can look into their life and say, hey, let me do this. It's just like, you know, kind of what happens, happens.
Yeah.
And that is what it is.
It is.
Yeah.
So
I feel like that's a lot better than,
you know, but yeah, it
but
is.
Even then, you
but
still
at
have
the same time,
yeah,
with
being scared,
not having social media, then you wouldn't have that reference either. So
sure,
you have, you know, it's all the same problems, but you have now compounded those problems. So, yeah, that's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, it is a big bummer. So real quick before we jump onto family, you're talking about codependency?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's a big one, and often people are in codependent relationships without even realizing they're in codependent relationships.
Yeah.
So have you experienced that?
I've experienced codependency a lot of different ways, and the wildest one to me is someone who appears independent and talks about how independent they are, but when it comes to leaving the relationship or exhibiting signs of independence on your own and seeing how they react to things that, you know, you would do, and figuring out then that they're extremely codependent, but they just, you know, they use that as sort of like a cover.
Do you think those people even know they're codependent?
I know. That's what I'm saying. I don't think that they do. And it takes them to realize that, or they do, but just sort of disguise it, because when you hear somebody's codependent, it's, again, another red flag. Like, you know, you don't – you want to be in a healthy, independent relationship where if things were to end, or things, you know, or you're not glued at the hip all the time. You know, it's – and I'm not saying – it's very – I feel like you hear codependency and you're just like, ugh.
Well, it pertains to so many different things, but like in relationships – it's a tough one, because often people will stay with somebody that they're not happy with, and they know they need a change, and they know they should probably leave that person, but they don't.
Yeah.
That's codependency. Yeah. Codependency on the flip side.
I don't think that many people realize that they're codependent until they're actually, you know,
out of the relationship. 100%. In therapy.
Yeah. Exactly. And I find it to be, you know, it's weird, because really codependent people make a relationship in the beginning very fun. They always want to be around you. They always want to be glued to the hip. And that's sort of that pink cloud phase where you're, you know, really cool. But then at the moment you step off of that rock to go do something else, it's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What's going on? Why am I not there? Why, you know, this is my, you know, you need to text me all the time. You need to do this. You need to do that. And it's like, okay. I've just figured out who you are and how this is going to transpire over time. And if this is the way that it's going to be, you know, obviously I can't do this anymore. That's when it comes to also communication, and whether or not your partner can deal with hearing that they're actually codependent and being able to, you know, figure out, okay, well, you know, they're doing this and that. I need to have some trust and let them do this without, you know, constantly
right, or
trying to be in contact or seeing what they're going, you know, what's going on, and
right,
and
or you know that that's just who they are, and you have to be the person who says, "I'm sorry, but this relationship just isn't for me," and be honest.
Yeah,
you don't have to necessarily say, "I feel like you're codependent," but that's your, like you said, your red flag to say, you know, this isn't working for me.
Yeah, because I've just found that codependent people, it's a tough ending to that sort of relationship when. It's very challenging to get out. We're going to lead into this next topic about family, those meaningful, beautiful relationships you have with your family, and how to combat some of the arguing and issues that you might be running into, and how to sort of sustain those relationships.
Yeah, and all of the wonderful parts of family relationships as well.
And how meaningful it is, yeah.
Like us, for example.
We have a great relationship. Flawless. Never had a problem.
Well, I wouldn't say never.
No, I'm just kidding. Or like any other family.
You know, I'm raised 2 kids by myself, and it was tough at times. The teenagers were a lot of fun. Haha. But we also went through our ups and downs, and the goal for me was to never stop communicating, even if they hated me, even if they didn't want to talk to me. I sometimes bust my way in, and other times I would give them the space, but always trying my best to keep the lines of communication open.
Sure. Man, that was a pain sometimes.
It was hard.
A lot of times you just don't want to talk.
Yeah.
And that's not only just, you know, talking with your mom, but just like talking with anybody in your family where you're just fed up. You're just pissed off.
Right.
Like, I have nothing to say to you. That's how it is.
Yeah.
But we wouldn't have gotten to this point unless I gave in or you gave in to actually have a conversation and work out those kinks.
Yeah, not giving up. I mean, I knew you were in there, and I knew you needed to talk, even though you didn't want to. Give you the space that I could, and other times... I mean, there were forced conversations because you needed to talk sometimes. You needed to get it out. And as much as it was challenging, look at where you are today.
Yeah. Very successful. $100 million real estate portfolio.
You're a successful communicator.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. It's $200 million. I'm just kidding. I know. I think that that really pushed me to get to this point, and I think that's what a lot of families lack. It's weird because a lot of families, you know, family is just like tossed around, and I'd always do this for my family. I'd always be there for my family and do this and that. And I've seen a lot of families interact in a way when they start to argue that you sort of question if that's what they really mean. And I want to talk about, you know, communication, because I've seen time and time again, not only in my family, but other families, that they're like, oh yeah, you know, my aunt and uncle aren't talking, or my mom and her sister aren't talking, or this and that. And it's like, well, how does that super meaningful relationship and like, oh yeah, they were just over, like, you know, last Christmas and this and that, go to, oh, I'm never going to speak to them again. Mm-hmm. I can't, but, you know, for different reasons, so many different reasons. But I just can't imagine, especially with my sister saying that, you know, I'm never going to talk to them again because this is what they said to me, or this and that. Unless it's insane. Unless they did something insane to you, like they killed your dog or something. There's no reason why you need to, you know, you can't necessarily speak with that person ever again. It just is absolutely wild to me. I get you're different people, but at the same time, it is family. And I truly believe that if it is your family, that you stay with them through thick and thin.
Yeah. And family tends to hurt family. You know, you hurt the ones you love the most. And sometimes.
But it comes from a place of love. Some of the time.
Well, yeah, maybe. But it could be, you know, unhealthy circumstances.
Sure.
You know, within that love. And family, because of that quote, you tend to hurt the ones you love, can say some really hurtful things. And some people just can't forgive them. And I'm not an advocate of that. I, you know, always try to communicate and work things out. And I'm also not a mean, spiteful person. I don't say mean things. I've had circumstances in my family where mean, hurtful things have been said to me. I've seen other people in my family say mean, hurtful things to each other. And it's horrible. It's absolutely heartbreaking. However, there's always time and there's always a way to make amends if you are willing to forgive and sometimes talk it out. Sometimes you don't need to talk it out, but I agree with you. You know, blood's blood and family's forever. So it's worth the shot.
Yeah, and I'm just saying that because I have a really solid relationship with my family, and that's sort of how I view things, where, you know, they could say, you know, whatever it is, and it's never going to keep me from just burning a bridge and ending that relationship as a whole, because there was at one point where, you know, they would do anything for me. They're my family. And obviously that's, you know, my family. I'm not speaking for everybody else's family. I'm sure that people come up from really messed up situations, and those people aren't necessarily the ones that you need to even keep a relationship with. But what I'm talking about is for people that have that genuine connection, that spend the holidays together, that have, you know, those really solid sibling bonds and just keeping, you know, super close ties with your family, that, you know, one argument doesn't need to be the end to what
was a lifelong relationship.
A lifelong relationship and what could have been. And I've seen that a lot, you know, with this family, and it's tough to watch, and it's almost weird to watch, because I can never imagine, you know, with my sister, you know, and we've talked about this a couple times where, you know, it doesn't matter really what we say to each other. We always sort of come back, you know, there's that bit of arguing and you kind of get it out. But then once it's out, and sort of to your point where, you know, you kind of need to get stuff out, and then you can, you know, get back on that level where you're like, okay, you know, I said what I said. I'm sorry.
Right.
You know, we can move forward. Doesn't even need to end this sibling relationship that we've been building
right.
for over 20 years or whatever.
Right. I've watched you and your sister battle
we
it out
for days
and end up apologizing to each other. But that's the beauty of it, is that, you know, even it can go on for a couple of days. One person says sorry, and then the other person forgives them, and vice versa. And you guys can move on from that. But with our family dynamic, the three of us, I mean, that's how we work. You know, we have such a dynamic that we can say things that we feel, and sometimes it may hurt the other person's feelings, and not even if it wasn't meant to hurt the other person's feelings. But, you know, feelings may get hurt. And if that's the case, then it should be drawn to, you know, my or your sister's attention, mm-hmm. if it's your feelings that are being hurt. And then we apologize, because for me especially, it's never my intention. I don't want to intentionally ever hurt you or your sister's feelings. But there's things that I've said that did hurt your feelings for one reason or another.
Yeah.
And I would rather know than not know, and know not to do it again, or say it in a different way if it has to be said.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it just makes us grow stronger.
It does. And I, you know, whether we sort of eternalize it in the beginning, whether it's not meant to be hurtful and then it ends up coming out. I also think that it sort of depends also on the relationship and how close you are. Like Ruby and I are very close. That's my sister's name. She goes to USC, very prestigious school. And she's, what is she in school?
Fight on.
Doesn't matter. Anyways, we say the most insane things to each other. We're constantly roasting each other, constantly saying things that I would imagine that if you said to your sister would
be hurtful.
Would create a crevasse in your relationship. And they're just simple, funny, you know, little roasts. Hey, you're this, you're that. And it's funny. It's funny. So I think it sort of builds up that callus where you – that conversational callus where it would take a lot and have to be a really deep dig into one of our characters for it to actually affect our relationship, because a lot of the stuff is very like – it's just surface level, just
– banter.
Yeah. I was gonna say bull, but it just doesn't mean anything.
But that's the relationship.
But it is hurtful in other relationships when you're not that close. That sort of stuff is taken in a way where, oh, that's an attack on me. That I truly believe what you're saying. But you do that over time, where you develop that sort of relationship where it would take a lot to really affect this sort of relationship. And that's kind of what we've sort of established here in our, you know, close family, that we say stuff. Obviously, I'm not here roasting my mom. I don't want you to get that.
Yeah,
sort of
I have.
Idea.
I don't
she
take
would
part
not
in
take that.
That
at all. And I would never do that because I'm a very respectful son. And I do the dishes and I do my duties here. But I just mean when it comes to, you know, you have your sibling and you guys, you know, play with each other. But I've seen it go south, and I've seen cousins that don't talk to each other anymore. And that whether or not they're, you know, good at communicating is, you know, kind of up in the air. I don't really know. But it never seems to regain traction. Right. Or it takes a really long time.
Well, that's for,
it,
you know, the kind of relationship that you and your sister have. And not everybody can have that kind of relationship.
Yeah.
You know, I have a different relationship with my siblings. I'm very close to them. But I wouldn't say half the things that you say to your sister. But that's your and your sister's relationship.
Yeah.
You know, and it's wonderful. And you love each other deeply. And you have a really strong bond. And I feel that way with my siblings. And there's been, you know, issues that have, you know, arose in the past. But again, a sibling relationship is, you know, it's very, it's obviously very personal, and it's the relationship you have with that other person. And just like any relationship between two people is really special. Sibling relationships, I think that, you know, that's something that is so important if you're lucky enough to have a sibling. And that level of trust, if you get to that point with your sibling, is remarkable.
So then how it is, and I you know, I wouldn't trade it for anything, but then how do you deal with relationships, obviously, that aren't your sibling, whether it's your parents or your aunts and uncles? You know, there's always somebody in the family you don't necessarily like, and that always are kind of issue when it comes to the holidays or this and that. How do you deal with
like
that
Uncle Bill?
Particular person? Yeah. You got Uncle Willis that, you know, you just are like, I have to go to Thanksgiving. He's going to be there? God damn it. How do you sort of distance yourself, or how do you, at least you think, how do you, you know, distance yourself and sort of draw that line when it comes to how you let it affect you?
Well, I'm not here to say every family
and
has.
How do you communicate to your family? Because they're not a stranger. It's not like you can just say anything, but you know, you don't want it to trickle out to the rest of the family. That...
Right. Well, and I'm not saying every family has an Uncle Bill or an Aunt May, you know, that is the type that comes over and says whatever they feel like saying and is disruptive and kind of, you know, is a rough communicator, let's just say. And I think the best way to handle that, you know, is keep your conversation light. Be respectful because they still your family member. And, you know, try not to take offense to the things they say and take it with a grain of salt because everybody in the family knows how they are and how they'll react to certain things and most likely what their responses are going to be. So your best bet is to ride it lightly, you know, be respectful, enjoy the holiday, and, you know, keep the communication light and as little as possible.
What if they're disrespecting you?
Then I think you have
just
the right.
Let it rip.
No, I think you have the right to say something, and nobody should.
So you do. So you just let it. You're gonna disrespect me in front of all.
No, there's a way to handle it. I mean, if you fire off and disrespect them back and say something really mean, you know, then you're just playing their game, and you're just stooping to you know their level. And half the time, they don't even know their level. They're the type of person that doesn't have a filter, so they just say things.
Sure.
And if you're gonna, you know, resort to that, then you know you're only gonna not only hurt them because half the time they don't realize what they're saying, but you're gonna feel badly. And you know, so what's the point of that? You know, I think you can say something like, "I don't feel like you should be speaking to me like that," or that's something that should be discussed else, you know, at another time. You know, some respectful way of diffusing the situation.
Sure. I yeah. And hey, we're family. You know, what gives you the right to speak to me like this when, you know, we're all here for that same reason, to rejoice and have a fun time with each other, and what gives you the right to, you know, speak to me in this way? When I've, you know, most of the time it's been nothing but nice to you and we continue to have, you know, good times.
Yeah. And you can also do it in a way that is not in front of the entire family.
Yeah. You pull them aside and
yeah. So that it doesn't blow up into a big family situation.
Cause that's the worst when the whole family's talking about something and you're just like,
yeah,
you know, I needed to do that or I shouldn't have done that. And it just becomes a big thing,
you know? So with the holidays coming up, you know, it's best that keep your, you know, reactions. It's all in how you perceive it. Keep your reactions to a minimum and focus on the positives. And if something like that does come up, I think the best way is to, you know, pull that person aside and let them know how you feel. And then go back to the rest of the family and enjoy the rest of your holiday.
And speaking of enjoying the rest of your holiday, if you know that this is this person's pattern, you know how they're going to be, take that into account and just – really, you know, enjoy the time that you have with those really solid, sound family members and just know that, you know, that's the way that they are. They're probably not going to change whether or not you pull them aside or not. You know, it probably would, you know, maybe help if you did, but
well, I
not
think,
letting it ruin, you know, your time with the family members that you really love.
I think that it will help you because rather than, sure. you know, you get angry and then, you know, hold, yeah. you know, a grudge and walk around pissed off the rest of the day. You know, and also, you know, you shouldn't let somebody disrespect you. So, you know, I think that everybody has a right to say something. And, you know, again, if you come up from a place of love, because 99% of the time they, unless they're just completely vindictive, and in that case probably won't be invited, they just don't know.
Yeah. Also, you know, some family members don't even see them that way. Of a different threshold for
yes emotion. Definitely
so they are invited to these places but you happen to have that one sort of issue with them where you're like, I don't really like when they're
yeah
like, why'd they say that, why'd they ruin this for me,
yeah,
you know, and not even necessarily well, ruin it for everybody else or you know yeah. I feel like they're just sort of attacking me, so I really agree with that point where you're really doing it for you if you're going to approach that person and give them a piece of your mind in a nice way.
Yeah. Well, you're.
And just share, hey, you know, this is really, you know, it hurts my feelings. It's this, and I feel like, you know, you're doing this to me. And I would just appreciate it if you stopped. And if they don't, then at least you took accountability and you at least said something to sort of limit, you know, the interaction.
Right. And lucky for us, we don't have anybody in our family like that.
We got a couple.
I know we don't.
Just kidding. I'm just kidding.
So, I mean, you know, it's again with relationships, family relationships, it's, you know, the communicating is so important and everybody should be allowed to say what they're feeling, you know, and be truthful in what you're saying. You know, oftentimes with, you know, we see kids, parental relationships, kid and parentals, parents and their kids, where the kids feel the need to always lie to their parents for one reason or another.
Yeah.
And figuring out why your kids are always lying to you would be a good start to establish, I think, better open lines of communication and in the long run, an amazing relationship like we have.
Yeah. And I think that's also due to the fact that you're not really a strict parent and you're more willing to listen and hear, you know, when I'm in a bind or if I'm doing something wrong and I only point it out, but I'm more willing to come to you and let you know when things, you know, aren't going my way or I've just ended up in a bad situation because there's not this fear of, oh, I'm in trouble. Oh, you know, I knew I raised this, you know, bleep, you know, and I think that that sort of dynamic when it comes to not giving your kids a lot of freedom to be who they are really comes at a cost of having that super strong relationship with your parents. And I feel like that's sort of just as an example to show why we're a really powerful dynamic as a family because we share a lot. I think that really is a key factor in developing a really awesome dynamic with your family is being able to know that you can share a lot that you wouldn't normally be able to share and knowing that it's a safe place to do so.
Definitely.
And I think the less families talk, especially now with being at the dinner table and being on phones and or eating in your room or this and that, and not spending that sort of quality time limits the super cool interactions you could have with the people closest to you.
Yeah.
And I think that just being able to share with your family where it's safe and it's a comfortable environment. And not share, it's not talking about sharing like your deepest secrets, but being able to have like just a regular conversation with your family. I think that sort of limits a lot of families' dynamics when, you know, kids or parents can't really have just a regular conversation and talk about their day or talk about struggles and this and that.
Yeah. And a lot of times, the family dynamic isn't the safe place. And
yeah, 100%.
It's sad.
I'm coming at it from a very positive point of view, but I'm sure there's a lot of families where you just...
Well, I'm grateful, beyond grateful, that that's our dynamic and that we have that and how close the three of us are. You know, it also comes from a place of being a single parent and just the amazing person that I am. If you can toot your horn, I can toot mine.
Go for it. Yeah, honestly, you are truly amazing. Mine's fake news, but...
No, not at all.
She is truly a great mom. And I'm very thankful. Do you want to just end it with a sort of positive message to families for the holidays? And just see how we could keep everything civil and have good times? Give your piece, and then I'll go ahead and give mine.
Yes. From our family to yours, with the holidays upon us, we wish everybody not only a wonderful holiday season, but open, clear communication with your family, being able to try those hard conversations if need be, maybe not necessarily at the Thanksgiving table, but if
that's the best place to do it. Do it at the do it right when you're carving the turkey.
But if you find, you know, you feel that you're in a situation where either a kid or a sibling or even a spouse, you're having an issue with it, you're having a hard time expressing your feelings about, give it a shot. Always come from a place of love and just maybe you'll be able to open up those lines of communication and change the dynamic of your relationship.
Totally. Now's the time. You're going to be with those loved ones who you haven't seen in a while that are either the best people to be around or a real thorn in the side, and really let them have it. I mean, you've been waiting all year.
No.
Now is the time. I'm just kidding. Share your points of view. Let them know how you're feeling. Enjoy the holidays with your family. And that has been the second episode of the Two Generation Podcast. We'll be back next week with another episode. All right, let's wrap it up.
Okay.
All right, happy holidays.
Bye.
Merry Christmas.
And that was episode 2 of the 2Gen Podcast. As always, thank you so much for listening. We're going to be releasing a new episode every Monday, so be sure to stay tuned in to YouTube, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast fix. And as always, feel free to email us at the2genpodcast@gmail.com with any topics, questions, or anything you'd like to have answered. See ya. Legal disclaimer. The 2Gen Podcast and content posted is presented solely for general, informational, and entertainment purposes. This is not intended as a substitute for the advice of a physician, professional coach, psychotherapist, or other qualified professionals. Listeners should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice for any medical or mental health condition they may have, and should seek the assistance of their healthcare professionals for any such conditions.